Jerry Bader Show 1035. The question is, should safety be an option? Now, here's what's interesting, though. We haven't really talked about this. The big push for backup cameras, which would add to the cost of the vehicle, is not the safety of anyone in the vehicle. Obviously, it would make you more safe, if you can see a vehicle coming at a high rate of speed, but you probably wouldn't anyway. It's more for objects there. This is about protecting small children. That's what it's about. And what it's trying to say is that there, you know what, a lot of drivers just can't see it, because what happens is you have to really know the child is there, and there have been a lot of tragic accidents. So you can say that it's making the car safer for those around the car in this case. So does that make it different from other safety things for the driver or passengers, where you as the buyer of the car can decide? Or should it be mandatory? Tom in Appleton, thanks for waiting. Tom, go ahead.
Yeah, Jerry, thanks for taking my call. I'm just concerned that people are going to get too reliant on a backup camera and not check what traffic might be coming from either of the other directions. And the other thing is, how many of these people that might run over a child just simply run out of the house and jump in the car because they're running late or they have to get someplace and don't really look about what's going on around them?
And you make a good point. You can ignore the camera as well as you can ignore a mirror or a safe look back. But studies seem to show that this does cut down on, you know, because they're out there on the market already, that this does cut down on incidents of running over small children. So if statistics show that it's successful, what would your response to that be?
Yeah, it's successful, but it's only as successful as the people who might use it. And there's still a lot of people that probably wouldn't use it for the purpose it's intended.
Thanks a lot for the call. To Roy in Green Bay. Roy, go ahead.
Yes, I'm just wondering about if you have this installed in your vehicle, let's say they make it mandatory, and it breaks or something and you didn't get it fixed, and you have an incident where this someone gets hurt or killed, you're opening yourself up for a lawsuit or something like that for not being responsible. And also, I think they're good for in parking lots. I drive a pickup truck with a cap on, and I can't see around bigger vehicles even or behind me. But backing out of some of these parking spaces, it would be a good thing. I think it's a good thing.
Okay, wait a minute. Okay, you lost me there. You seem like you argue both sides. You say you.
I'm just saying we could open up for lawsuits if we don't have one on a vehicle that's disabled or broke, and you didn't get it fixed.
Okay,
you know, it might sound them on both sides, but I'm really for the thing.
You really are for it. Then let me ask you this: if you're for it, what if, for an additional $2,000 per vehicle, you can make a passenger vehicle as safe as a NASCAR vehicle? Should it be mandated that everybody spend that extra $2,000 per car?
Well, I think you're comparing a lot of different things. I don't know if that's a valid comparison, but I'll go with it. I would say it all depends on how many deaths you have with all these different things.
Roy, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for the call. I got to get moving here. I want to get to one more call on this, Jason. I'll tell you how I feel. But Roy raised another good point. Not only a lawsuit, but could you be ticketed? Because those types of, you know, taillight, that sort of thing, would that be an your speedometer has to work? Would that be an equipment failure that you would be cited for if it's not functional? Dave in Bellevue. Dave, you get the last word. Go ahead.
Thanks, Jerry. First of all, I guess it was along the same lines as your last caller. I was just wondering how, if you should happen to get in an accident or back over somebody or the camera's defective and you did not have it repaired in so much time, I mean, how much of an increased lawsuit on the driver would that be, I guess, if you... camera was just defective and you hadn't gotten it repaired within so much time, or How much time would you have? I mean,
here's a scary thought for you. I don't imagine it would be that difficult for automakers to have something that pings GM or Ford and telling them that it's not working. How's that for a scary thought?
I guess that's along the star. What is that? Navistar or whatever that,
sure,
signal thing.
OnStar,
but they do
have
sensors right now. We have a car at home. We didn't order them with that on there. It came with, they have sensors in the bumper, and they do a phenomenal job. They have three or four sensors in the back bumper. It's amazing how accurate they are when you start to get close to some. And it seems to be fairly inexpensive. I would think that if they'd want to go a direction, I mean, I would think they'd try that first.
Yeah, the collision warning systems, they're called.
Yes, and it works. It works very well in our cars. I mean, it's phenomenal how close, you know, 3-4 feet, and then it starts beeping louder and louder, and it does a heck of a job, if you ask us. I mean,
Dave, thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate it. Yeah, and I don't know how much those cost, but there's another one. Why not mandate that one? I actually think this is a very difficult topic, and this, especially with the camera one, because you're talking about making the vehicle safer for those around the vehicle ultimately. Again, it's for collision, but you'd also, as Dave mentioned, you have the anti-collision. My inclination, and this is really a pretty difficult call, because I think they do make vehicles safer, the problem is, where do you end? Where do you stop? Now, someone said, it's just hard for me to imagine a vehicle without a seatbelt. But somebody brought that up. So, well, what about, what about seatbelts? They've been around for 50 years now. Could you see life without a seatbelt? Some people say, yeah, that's just like with a helmet. If I don't want to wear a seatbelt, I shouldn't have to wear a seatbelt. The counterargument is it drives up everyone's insurance costs when you have more serious injuries because of a seatbelt, airbag. The prevailing thought has been safety shouldn't be optional. That a car should be as safe as modern technology allows, no matter the cost. I, however, see as more and more, because here's what's happened. Car makers are more safety-minded now. They used to ignore it. They used to just, we're not really worried about innovating for safety because the customer's not worried about it. Now the customer is. And as such, now they want to offer these things. Some of these things could get very expensive. My inclination is that if you want it, it should be optional. Now, you can, but I understand you can make the argument it's for the safety of those around you. That might be something different. I want to get to two more things quickly in this segment because I want to spend a little more time on one more thing. State Representative Steve Castell of Elkhart Lake in Sheboygan County announced yesterday he's not seeking another term. Steve has been under fire from the right over Common Core. He and Luther Olson, members of the GOP's 2nd, 4th, and 6th Congressional District caucuses, passed resolutions declaring no confidence and no support of Senator Luther Olson of Ripon and Representative Steve Castell of Elkhart Lake, chairman of the Senate and Assembly Committees on Education, respectively. Olson and Castell represent portions of the 6th CD. They both blocked the proposed GOP reform of the controversial Common Core. Steve has come under fire from the reformist, education reformist right in the past. I will tell you the rumors about Steve not running have been circulating for weeks. We asked Steve about it, and he said, oh, I know where those are coming from. No, I haven't made up my mind. I am convinced when we asked him, he knew he wasn't running. I have known Steve Castell a long time, and I consider him a friend. He has been a major disappointment to conservatives. I mean, a major disappointment on the Assembly Education Committee as its chair, Assembly chair. And look, Steve's been there since fall of 1998 is when he was first elected. So he's been there a while. He's done some good things. It'll be interesting to see who lines up for that race. Now, I don't know if the dynamic has changed. When I was in Sheboygan, and I haven't seen the redistricting, but there was a time when that district was very much split. There was portions of the city of Sheboygan that went heavily Democratic, and then the rural areas usually gave it to the Republican. It'll be interesting to see what happens to that seat. But Steve was a great guy, has been a tremendous disappointment to education reformists. And his blockage on Common Core reform, he and Olson, I don't know if it's a factor that he's not running, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was. The bet is on between the governors of Kentucky and Wisconsin. Did you hear about the stakes? Governor Walker's putting up beer and bratwurst and cheese. The governor of Kentucky is putting up a fully stocked Kentucky bourbon bar. Okay, first, this is the best governor's bet ever. Come on. Beer, brats, and cheese versus Kentucky bourbon, a variety of it. It's getting criticized by some. Well, because of the alcohol factor on both sides. Jason says, just stop it. You know what? I don't have a better argument than that either. Just stop it. There are those of us who can eat and drink responsibly. I got half of it. I can drink responsibly. And I'm working on the eating responsibly part. By the way, I'm just going to say this very quickly. You haven't heard me talk much about Proactive Weight Loss Solutions. I'm winding down. I still have some weight to lose. I've lost 41 pounds as of today. And as of today, producer Jason is on Proactive Weight Loss Solutions. And yes, you'll actually be hearing him on the air as we do updates together on how he's doing. So yeah, anyway. Yeah, so that's been controversial. Did you see McDonald's fired back at the Taco Bell, Ronald McDonald's? Taco Bell has advertisements with real guys named Ronald McDonald, including a former Sheboygan city official. I'm Ronald McDonald. I'm Ronald McDonald. I'm Ronald McDonald. Did you see how they responded? They have an ad where you can tell it's the clown Ronald McDonald, and he's bending down, petting a chihuahua on the head, and it says, imitation is the most sincere form of flattery. I think that the hidden message there is you're just nipping at our ankles. We're not really worried about you. I still think it's a dumb idea. I think it makes you think of McDonald's. We'll see. Maybe I'm right. Maybe I'm wrong. I'll tell you what, we're going to save this one because I've got to get this last thing in. I've been teasing it for 2 days. In the after show video, once radioactive, Rebecca Clayfish has become a trusted ally. Very interesting story in the Racine, I believe it is, newspaper. We'll share it in the after show video that will be available this afternoon. It's about something else straight ahead, 10:49.
Follow Jerry on Twitter. Go to jerrybatershow.com.